The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this January 26th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a chilly day in the Auburn Opelika area. Sun is shining, though. It's just cold. But, man, aren't we lucky to be living where we live compared to, I don't know, everywhere else in the state of Alabama or everywhere else on this side of the country. Weather has completely taken over over the last several days. Winter weather moving through. And again, we are just thankful that it didn't impact us in any major way, as far as I know, at least here in Auburn and Opelika. So very thankful for that. Thankful to be here today, and we're thankful that you are with us on this Monday afternoon. Christian, happy Monday, sir. How are you? Busy week begins now, huh?
Very much so. Very busy week, but you mentioned it. Excited to bring a good show. Excited to talk about some Auburn basketball, as my goodness, what they did in Gainesville was historic. We're going to talk all about the first win in Gainesville since 1996 on the hardwood and in a beautiful fashion, in a way that you wouldn't expect Auburn to have needed it or have done it, but they continue to answer the call when we give them the challenge. They continue to step up in the face of adversity and find different ways to win basketball games. You saw another different type of Auburn basketball team get another win. And my goodness, when you take a look at the updated SEC standings, you wouldn't really know anything crazy other than the craziness of the entire SEC slate, the entire SEC schedule. We're going to give you all of those updates here this afternoon. We're also going to talk about big games outside the SEC or outside of just Auburn in the SEC and the top 25. You had something go down in college basketball this past weekend that was more rare than a national championship win. And we're going to dive in to that conversation. We're going to talk about the freshmen, the rookies in college basketball, what they did this past weekend. And then we're going to let Jacob give his little rant about the NFL while we talk about the NFL playoff recaps.
Yeah, so a lot to go over on today's show. One guest will join us. That's Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. That'll be an hour number two. Some more on that as we go. But until then, phone lines are open today. If you want to be a part of the show, 334-321-1390. You can give us a call. Again, 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And I know a lot of you were questioning or concerned about no Max Roundtable today from 11 to 2 here on ESPN 106.7. Our good friend Doug Amos down in Montgomery. I mentioned that we here in Auburn, Opelika, are very blessed to not have been impacted by any severe weather, but our friends in Montgomery in the River Region were not so lucky, and they had major radio station damage done to their building, to their radio tower. Folks, a radio tower, it's big, it's tall, it's strong. It snapped in half. due to wind. So they clearly were not on the air today. They are actively working on it with several much smarter people than me down there trying to get stuff figured out, trying to get it worked on. So we will update you on what their status is on the Max Roundtable joining us in our programming here once again this week in Auburn Opelika. So again, we hope that they get back up and running as quickly as possible, but that's what happened with that. That's why Doug wasn't on the air today. So we appreciate all the people reaching out and having concern on that, but, you know, it is what it is. Our building got struck by lightning like 2 years ago, and we were off the air for like a week. So, you know, weather happens,
yeah,
things happen.
That.
Yeah, I mean, that dude, that sucked. We're still recovering from that. We still have stuff that doesn't work around here. But we're on the air, and we are here and happy to be so. So, again, you can give us a call at 334-321-1390 with anything and your thoughts from sports over the weekend. Or you can give us a call, shoot us a text, rather, at 334-784-1067. And we start with a victory Monday.
Man.
A victory Monday for Auburn basketball. Not over a weak non-conference opponent, not over South Carolina in the bottom of the SEC. Auburn made history on Saturday. They go to Gainesville and win in that building for the first time in 30 years. And who would have thought that of all teams to go and break the curse in Gainesville, it would be this team to do it. Based off of how they've played this year, based off their strengths, more so based off of their weaknesses. And they went down there, Christian, and they didn't get lucky. Florida didn't play bad. Auburn didn't just run into a win. Auburn got a win, and they did it in crazy fashion,
yeah,
dominating the first half, nearly blowing it in the second half, and finding a way to get it done for their best win of the season.
I mean, you go and you look at what Stephen Pearl is and has been doing this season. And yes, you look at the seven losses and some of them stand out a little bit more than the others, as you would imagine some of them do. But even in SEC play, where we made the jokes of you're seeing a different Auburn team take the floor just about every single 40 minutes, and you don't really know which one you're going to get. Could you get the good offensive team but the bad defensive team? Are you going to get the team that plays great defense but doesn't really do a lot offensively? Are you going to be the team that dominates offensive rebounds but because of that you're lazy and you shoot too many threes? You feel like, again, this is a different team from what you saw, but I think a lot of that goes back to what you saw in the last 20 minutes at Ole Miss, where you realized you could use the paint, you could dominate physicality-wise, and who would have thought that you'd be able to say a word like that or a sentence like that, taking on the defending national champion, the Florida Gators, who are the top rebounding team in the country. They still out-rebounded you, but not by any margin of what the fear could have been. But when you have three trees that play about more physically than anybody else in college basketball, to say that you matched, you held your own, if not you were the more physical team, I think that's a statement for this Auburn Tiger team. You mentioned it, the first time you win in Gainesville on the hardwood since 1996. Apologies to anybody, but that is before either of us were born.
Yeah.
So we do not remember the buzzer beater that we saw Andy Bertram talk about, as well as the TV announcers talk about. But what a performance for this Auburn Tiger team. It was the Keyshawn Hall performance in the first half. Yeah, everybody knew the Florida Gators were going to go on that run at home to start the second half, and even throughout the majority of the second half, and you went right back to those thoughts of, oh gosh, here we go again. We're going to find a way to do what Auburn has done throughout this season. Yet that being said, and the tallest of tasks, this Auburn team gets it done.
You did it, and you got it done with seven players.
And by, I want to take a pause and just think about how beautiful this number is. A, you shot 33% from three, which isn't incredible, but isn't terrible. We talked all week leading up to this game about how well this team was going to have to shoot from behind the three-point line. because you weren't going to be the better rebounding team. You weren't going to be the more physical team down low. You were going to have to shoot the three very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn made five, but you only shot 15. This team shot 15 threes in the contest.
Yeah, not 28, not 32, not 35.
Not 15 in the first half.
Yeah.
You were 5 of 15.
Why?
Because Auburn outscored Florida in the paint 38-28.
There was never a moment going into this game in the season, in the week, in the day, in the minute leading up to this thing. Never did I think that this Auburn team going up against that Florida team would outscore them in the paint.
And would shoot 54% from two, 21 of 39 from inside the three-point arc. For a team that loves to shoot the three, and a team in Florida that loves to make you shoot the three, and a team in Auburn that is much smaller down low, every single arrow pointed to, man, Auburn's going to have to knock down 13 or 14 threes if they want to win this game. If I told you Auburn scored 76 points going into this contest, I know we're getting to the phone lines here in just a minute, but if I told you on Monday, today, that you didn't watch the game, Auburn scored 76 points, I guarantee your response is, holy cow, they lit it up from three.
I'd say they lost. I'd say they lost the game.
That
which gets to
too.
Auburn's defense, which we'll get to in a moment as well. But yeah, 5 of 15 from downtown, 19 of 21 from the free throw line, and 48% from the floor, man. That'll get it done. That'll get it done on the road. Auburn wins 76-67. Let's get to the phone lines for the first time today. 334-321-1390. James, you're on the line. How are you on this Monday?
I'm fine, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Hey, just a quick comment. I know the portal season technically is kind of winding down, but I saw an article over the weekend that where somebody put that there were about 1,200 players in the portal, and I guess that was all divisions of college football, that were, I'm going to use the word, homeless. And the question I have, how many Auburn players entered the portal or in that homeless state right now that did not get, have not been picked up by somebody?
That's a good question. I don't know it off the top of my head. Christian's got to look it up. I most of them have found homes that I can remember off the top of my head, James. A lot of them have gone somewhere else and been picked up, and a lot of them went to SEC P4 schools. But we'll try and find that number and see how many of them haven't found a place to go. Is the secondary question to that how many of them might return to Auburn?
You know, my comment to that, I think Golish has the attitude, if you were given an opportunity to stay with the program when he first came on board, great. But if you chose to roll the dice and say, hey, I'm hitting the portal, I think you kind of told him and his staff where your loyalties were laying at that time.
Yeah, I think
so. You were looking out for yourself and the heck with so-called the team.
And I think just as much with that, James, I think there were just as many who were told by the staff, hey, thanks, but no thanks. We don't have a spot for you on our team.
Exactly. Great comment there. But
James, you know, I believe the number that I'm looking at here is seven.
Seven kids. How many of those were scholarship versus how many were walk-on?
I believe all but one was a walk-on. Apologies. All but one was scholarship based.
Okay. Do you mind who are the ones that you found that list that are homeless right now?
I believe Antonio Coleman is still quote unquote homeless. I believe you have Seth Wilfred, Hollis Davidson. You have I don't know if James Ash has found a home. I remember seeing his name. And then Broderick Scholl, DJ Barber, and Tyler Brown.
Right. What about Horatio Fields?
Horatio Fields, unless I'm hearing, unless there's some news, that's Missouri that he...
Yeah, but he has, if you saw the article, he has not shown up or enrolled in class.
Okay, well then, okay, that makes a little bit more sense on why he doesn't have a official logo. And 4 hours ago, it said he's not expected to enroll at Missouri. So,
oh, wow.
That's right. So
interesting.
Anyway, it's food for thought. I thought that was just amazing, the number of kids that are homeless that thought they could roll the dice and get a better option. And like you said, they may have been told, hey, man, thanks, but no thanks. You know, we don't have a spot for you.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. James, great points,
right,
my friend.
Enjoy the show. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call, James. 334-321-1390. Phone lines open now until about 3:30 here on today's program.
I wonder if – I know that Auburn couldn't get a couple of those wide receiver ones. Just food for thought, possibly.
Could be. Yeah. But that is the risk, right?
Oh, 100%.
Is going into the portal and learning that the grass isn't always greener, or learning that there's not a gate in the fence to get to the other side, right? You go in the portal and it's like, dang, nobody reached out.
Yeah.
That's got to be, not to go super deep into that, but that's got to be a crappy feeling. If you're a player that enters the portal, let's say you went to whatever school out of high school for whatever reason, right? You went to a small school, big school, medium school, I don't care, right? And you enter your name in the portal for, again, whatever reason. They told you to leave, you decided to leave, you couldn't come to an agreement, whatever the case may be. And you go to the portal and you wait with your phone sitting on your desk or on your bed or in your car. And you're just waiting for it to start blowing up, right? And it just doesn't. You get a call here and there. You get one
and
from...
And it's mom asking if anybody's called.
Yeah, exactly. You get a notification and it's just ESPN instead of a text, right? That's got to be a humbling moment. And here's the reality. Of the 1,000 kids that are still in the transfer portal, as James was saying, are teamless or homeless or whatever term you want to use, uncommitted, unsigned, right? The reality is, at this point, a lot of those kids are done.
Yeah.
They're not playing college football. They're not going anywhere. Teams have filled their rosters. And guess what? This factor still matters too, believe it or not. Classes have started across the country. The spring semester has begun. And so while there are some rules in place and some leniencies when it comes to transfer portal kids, the longer it goes, the less likely you are at this point to find a home.
You look at Horatio Fields, and again, appreciate that, James, because I hadn't seen this news until, yeah, looking up his name, but he had obviously agreed to a new deal with Missouri, but he was waiting until the portal officially closed to enroll at Missouri. And then we found out last weekend, Ole Miss went and signed Caden Lee from Ole Miss. And so because of that, apparently that is what is keeping Horatio Fields from being expected to join the program.
Interesting.
So a weird middle, not even a middle ground, but a weird third layer that you don't really talk about a lot, which I guess you see a little bit more of it now with the commits and then the re-flipping and committing and signing in the transfer portal, which again has picked up a little bit of steam, and we talked about some of those names in that 2-week period. But yeah, a weird third ground of not really being on a team and then wondering where he's at for school right now as well, because you mentioned it, the spring semester now is underway.
Yeah. So, James, appreciate the call, my man. Always appreciate you being a part of the show. Give us a call if you want to do the same. 334-321-1390. We get back to basketball as Auburn takes down Florida and Gainesville. More on that when we come back, as we're just underway here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate you being with us on a sunny day in the Auburn-Opelika area as we continue talking Auburn basketball, who gets their biggest win of the season on Saturday on the road against the Florida Gators. And I'll be the first to say it. I was not expecting that. Neither one of us, Christian, picked Auburn to win on Friday. Neither one of us thought Auburn was going to win. And even when the Tigers were up by 15 at the half, neither one of us thought that Auburn was going to win this game. Because, right, we're not Auburn haters. We're not negative Nancys, for the most part. We had reasons of thinking the way we did with this particular Auburn team.
I was going to say, from the past of Auburn in general and from the past of 3 weeks ago, from this season with this team, much less on the road with one of the best teams in the country.
Our reasoning on Friday was simple. Until we see it, we're not buying it. But we saw it on Saturday. And this team deserves its flowers. Stephen Pearl deserves his flowers. How cool was that for him? To go on the road and do something that an Auburn head coach, including his father, has not done in 30 years and get to beat one of his best friends in the business, a national championship winning coach, Todd Golden, and the Florida Gators. Good for you, Stephen Pearl. Good for you, Auburn. Good for these players. They needed this desperately.
Very much so.
I think more so than we even thought.
Oh, yeah. I
mean, especially if they go on and continue playing well.
Which, that's the points we're going to get to next is, okay, all of that is great. What now? Because your schedule doesn't really get easier over these next five or six games, but you don't want to flip the page on that too soon just because of, again, this is history for this team. I mean, this is the same type of game that Bo Nix led in Baton Rouge with Auburn and LSU of, man,
yeah.
Nobody really predicted it because it hasn't happened in so long, and did that team continue to rattle off wins? Yes, until no, and then there were a lot of no's following that, but at least from your looking at the standpoint of one of the biggest road wins in a program's history for that specific sport. Steven talked about that in the post-game press conference, and you feel like this should be rewarded. Again, we talked last week about that second half at Ole Miss where you only shot seven threes. You only made one of them, but because you absolutely dominated the paint, you dominated the rebounding category, you dominated the physicality points that don't necessarily go on to stats, and then you saw it in the free throw line. You saw that team carry that through this game throughout 40 minutes. Again, I cannot get over looking at the stats that you shoot 5 of 15 from 3, and what, 4 of those makes were in the first 7 minutes of the game with the Keyshawn Hall run and the Tahad Pettiford left wing 3. I can't think of the other one, but man, they all happened to start the game to kind of silence the crowd, which makes things even more important because they had that little bit of a rally in the second half, but they didn't feel like they were on you for all 40 minutes. This Florida team made a 3 on their first possession of the game. Went up 3-0. Auburn responded, made it 3-2. Keyshawn Hall made 2 free throws to make it 4-3. Florida didn't see the lead again.
Yeah. I mean, 3 of your misses from downtown were from Sway and Keyshawn Murphy. Think about that. Think about the idea.
That's right. Sebastian Williams-Adams, his 3 early in the second half.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that the straightaway 3?
Either that or, yeah, slightly off the left wing.
Yeah.
But, again, that was your only other make.
Tahad Pettiford goes 1 for 4. How many times have we seen Hod go 2 for 9, 1 for 7 this year from downtown, right? He didn't do that. Kevin Overton didn't even attempt one. Didn't attempt a 3.
Yet still had double figures.
It's almost like somebody has said he's best not from behind the 3-point line. What a funny fact that is. Keyshawn Hall goes 3 for 5, and Freeman goes 0 for 2. Some of these individual stats are incredible. Murphy, 16 points, 9 rebounds. Keyshawn Hall, 24 points, 7 boards, 4 assists. Auburn did not pass the ball well in terms of passing for open shots and for makes, but you didn't necessarily need it, which is kind of crazy.
No, it was much more of the Jani Broome, not comparing these players to that, but it was the Jani Broome catch the ball on the low block or catch the ball on the right wing.
Make a play.
Go to work.
Yeah. Kevin Overton, 10 points in this game. Tahad Pettiford had 11, 5 boards, did have an assist. 4 turnovers, not a good ratio there for Tahad. And you only get 10 bench points. That's concerning, yes, but the fact that you were able to win a game like this, of this magnitude, and only get 10 points from your bench is remarkable. You turn the ball over a combined 9 times on the road against that Florida team, who isn't the most aggressive team going after the basketball, especially with their guards. But you avoided so many of the unforced turnovers, which has just plagued Auburn in the past. And then I want to highlight defensively. We got a minute or so here. You gave up just 67 points to that team. You got 9 steals and 3 blocks in this game. Florida's percentages were terrible. They shot 37% from the floor, Christian. 26% from 3. And this doesn't really involve Auburn's defense, but only 59% from the floor. And they turned it over 11 times. From the free throw line. And they turned it over 11 times in their own building.
Going into this game, and this is not us, again, being negative Nancy's to Auburn, but just based off of what we've seen, would you not have 100% believed me if I told you that these box scores were flipped?
Yes, absolutely.
Every single one of them.
Other than the rebounding total.
Correct. But 7 of 27 from 3, only 60% from the free throw line. I would have believed it.
Auburn made Florida uncomfortable and put them out of their game, which is how you beat good teams.
And the winning stop came from Filip Jovic. In my opinion, with about 4 minutes left, going up, contesting without fouling. Tahad, I believe, got the rebound and went down and hit a floater to kind of put this game on ice right when Florida had a little bit of momentum.
For a guy that if you take his stats away, you still technically win the game.
Yep.
Big time plays for Auburn. They beat Florida on Saturday on the road. That was not the only big result, though. We talk more college basketball next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. He's Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us as we continue talking college basketball outside of what happened between Auburn and Florida, because this past weekend was incredible. I mean, this was the weekend I think college basketball needed. I hope a lot of people kind of got back in it a little bit. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah, especially with no Saturday games
for college football or NFL.
Yeah.
I think this was the weekend where it was like, okay, let's see what you got, college basketball. And it delivered. It absolutely delivered.
And I know we're diving into some scores from this past weekend, but have you seen the two big games tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, two big ones tonight. A lot more coming up tomorrow, too.
Louisville and Duke tonight at 6.
Yeah, I'm worried about that Louisville team.
And then the number one team in the country goes on the road to BYU. You have Koa Pete versus A.J. DePonsa, who is coming off a 40-point game as a freshman. We'll dive into that. But there were 3 freshmen in college basketball this past weekend to drop 40 bombs.
Yeah.
That is insane. And the fact that one of them, Mr. Fleming, doing it to Texas Tech, that in itself is absolutely absurd. But no, the games this past weekend more than delivered, and it truly began to feel like there was a little bit more hype around college basketball. And again, I think that's just because, weird way, you were almost force-fed college basketball as the casual fan, mm-hmm, because there wasn't really anything else to prioritize a bunch of these networks.
Yeah, the second-ranked team in the country, UConn, got a big-time scare from Villanova, which goes to show that while the Big East may not be what it used to be, it still has teams that can compete and be threats, and they gave UConn everything they wanted. Huskies survive in overtime. You talk about guys dropping 40-plus points. How about Mr. Wagler at Illinois goes on the road to West Lafayette to the fourth-ranked team in the country, Purdue, drops a career-high 46 points.
On 9 of 11 from behind the three-point line.
That's nasty, dude. That's nasty. He scored 46 of their 88 points.
Yeah, and then you go look at the other side, and it's, oh, I'm so sorry, Braden Smith. Your 27 and 12 gets overlooked.
That's so dumb. I mean, how do you have 27 points and 12 assists?
Yeah, I mean, that's those James Harden games where he just doesn't come out in every single basket. Is either coming from your scoring or your assist. And so if every single two, or if every single assist that he had was a two,
51 is the number you're looking
51
for.
51 points that he scored or assisted on, much less if half of those were threes, and then you add even more points to that. But he did that in 37 minutes.
Yeah. But Illinois gets the win on the road in Big Ten basketball. Awesome stuff right there. Houston, Texas Tech. A lot of Auburn fans, if you had the TV set to watch the Auburn basketball game, you know that Houston, Texas Tech played before you because they forced you to go somewhere else. Red Raiders get it done at home, 90-86 over the 6th-ranked team of the country as the 12th-ranked team of the country gets it done, now 6-1 Big 12 play.
Kingston Flemings, again, on the road at Texas Tech, 42 points. Absolutely absurd. For a Houston team that's perfectly fine scoring 42 points in a game, it feels like. Had to keep up. JT Toppin and Christian Anderson are so fun to watch. Anderson didn't have a great night scoring, but he's, again, their primary ball handler. But JT Toppin is one of the most exciting players to watch in college basketball. Came back for another year. 31 points, 12 rebounds. I mean, just does everything on the floor.
This game in itself is not exciting. Nebraska beating Minnesota on the road, 76-57. So you may ask, why are you bringing it up? I don't know if the nation is ready for what the AP poll brought us today. The fact that Nebraska basketball is a top five team in the country. They are ranked number five.
GBR.
Nebraska behind, listen to these names, Duke, Michigan, UConn, and Arizona. That's who Nebraska is looped in with. Ahead of Gonzaga, Michigan State, Iowa State, Illinois, and Houston. I mean, talk about an ugly stepchild that just found their way into the wrong party. Nebraska. But they're good.
Yeah.
They're undefeated. They are 20-0 this season. And sure, their non-conference schedule was terrible. And everybody had the same idea of, all right, well, they'll get into Big Ten play and they'll get humbled. Really? They beat Wisconsin, who started to rattle off a couple of big wins and some upsets. Remember that Illinois team we just talked about that went on the road and beat Purdue? Yeah, Nebraska went to Champaign and beat them 83-80. Not good enough.
Early in the year.
Yeah, not good enough for you. They beat Michigan State, who's a top 10 team, 58-56, and also have rattled off some nice wins against Ohio State, Indiana, Northwestern, Washington aren't bad.
They got one over Oklahoma. Not that Oklahoma's anything great, but for those that have probably watched Oklahoma more than some of these other teams.
But they're going to look, the next four games, three of their next four is at number three Michigan, a rematch against Illinois, and then Purdue. If you win one, if not two of those games.
Yeah, I think if you get two, you're ecstatic.
Then you're legit. Then you are legit if you're Iowa or Nebraska, because then after that, you're smooth sailing after that. You don't have a ranked team on your schedule after that.
Can
for
we talk
the next seven games.
Can we talk about how happy Buzz Williams is right now? After going to Michigan State, going to Tom Izzo and losing 91-48.
I'm sure he's fine.
And you want to talk about a crazy stat line. Jeremy Fears, we talked a lot about Braden Smith for Purdue, and very much rightfully so, and is still probably the best all-around point guard in college basketball. But you want to talk about a team that will go as far as their point guard takes them?
Yeah.
It's Michigan State with Jeremy Fears Jr. 17 points, 17 assists.
That's nasty. That's nasty work.
I mean, again, he was 6 of 8 from the floor, had 17 assists. That's, again, the same number. It's very different than Smith's 27-12, but, again, that's 51 points. If everything is a 2 that you get the assist credited for, 51 points of the 91 that you scored or assisted on, and a lot of those points came late with guys who played 4 or 5 minutes, but a team that you've seen struggle when he doesn't play well, and on the two losses this year, I'd be willing to bet he didn't play well. But, man, when they look good, there's a clear reason why.
The Big Ten is nasty, dude. The
61% from the floor was Michigan State.
God, I would say so if you put up 91 points. That's ridiculous. Yeah, the Big Ten is legit. I can't figure out North Carolina. I watched this game on Saturday. Yeah. I can't figure them out, dude. That's a great win. They go on the road. They were down by, I believe, 9 at halftime. And funny enough, I was actually listening to a lot of that game. We carried it here on ESPN 106.7. I was driving to and from Columbus on Saturday for an event. And they were down by 9. And they come back and win that thing on the road at Virginia 85-80 in a top 25 game. North Carolina, I think it just depends on the fan that you talk to. Some of them say they're the best team in the country. Others will tell you they're terrible. Yeah. And they just lucked into a win. I mean, this is a team that has beat Kansas, Kentucky, Ohio State, Virginia now. They're also a team that's lost to SMU, Stanford, and California. What?
Even more is just the run athletically that Virginia is on. When you look at basketball, that hasn't necessarily gone anywhere. But, I mean, you played for the ACC championship in football as well. So
yeah.
But just one of those schools that you don't necessarily think of as an athletic juggernaut. But
yeah.
Again, North Carolina, they will also go as far as Caleb Wilson takes them, the point guard for North Carolina. Tyler Tanner gets back right for the Vanderbilt Commodores. They pick up a big-time win. I was a little worried about this Vanderbilt team after losing 3 straight and then going to the hump. I don't think Michigan State has it cut up for what they've had in the past. You have Josh Hubbard, but when you're 2-for-10, from the floor, that doesn't necessarily help. And they don't have the physicality down low that you feel like they have had. They have Davis Fleming, who played 25 minutes, had 8 rebounds, but only had 3 points and only attempted 1 field goal. You don't have that much going for you for Mississippi State and for Josh Hubbard, who chose to come back and play for Chris Jans. It's a little bit frustrating for him, but Tyler Tanner and Duke Miles are quickly turning into a premier 1-2 punch for the Vanderbilt Commodores, obviously, with how far they've gotten. But offensively, defensively, I believe that Duke Miles had 7 steals in that contest. Jeez. Which is wild in itself. So Vanderbilt, picks up a nice win on the road to kind of get them back into the win column and get their momentum back up a little bit.
How about Texas Saturday night? Texas. At home in Austin at the Moody Center, welcomes in a top 25 Georgia team. One of the most highly anticipated games of this young SEC college basketball season. And Texas waxed them.
In the second half. Did you watch this game?
Yeah.
The first half would have told you exactly
they were
the
down
other
by
numbers.
7 at the half. Texas was. Outscores Georgia by 27. Nearly put 60 points on them in the second half and beats them 87-67. Georgia fell apart, and Dalen Swain is that dude. 26 points, 6 boards, 5 steals.
Yeah, Dalen Swain and Treyman Mark, apologies. Again, the 1-2 punch that you're seeing with a lot of these teams, that has quickly become one of the most exciting. Dalen Swain, again, averaging 17 points a game. He also, a couple of nights ago, he had 29 at Kentucky the other night.
And
the
Texas team is legit.
And he also had 34 at home against Mississippi State. To go show you how drunk the SEC is, we just talked about how Mississippi State doesn't really have anything crazy. Texas hosted Mississippi State and lost in overtime. So Texas has 3 wins in the SEC, yet all 3 of those wins are really big wins.
Yeah, and their losses are not great.
No.
So that's an important team to talk about and remember, though, because
I would say so, yeah, later on in the week.
Yeah, tomorrow. I think tomorrow and Wednesday, since they're the ones that make a trip to Neville Arena Wednesday night. And then there was a game in Tuscaloosa Saturday.
Is that what carried the headlines in college basketball?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
For why? Because they were missing a couple of starters, right?
Yeah, Aiden Holloway didn't play. I know. Auburn fans were sad to see that. We don't wish any ill will.
They would have won, though, if he would have.
But thankfully, because Aiden Holloway didn't play, Alabama called in some reserves. And they said, we're not good enough to beat Tennessee, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to call in a professional. When you need your carpets cleaned, what do? You call a professional. When you need your gutters cleaned, do you put out the ladder and climb up there and risk your life? Heck no. You call in a professional. And when you need a win desperately in the SEC, what do? You call in a professional. And that's what Alabama did with Mr. Charles Bediako, who steps in and actually played pretty darn good.
What was the first word you said, though? He stepped in and played.
And played.
Hmm.
Yeah. And played. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. And the result that I think every college basketball fan was hoping for happened on Saturday as Alabama falls at home for the second time this season, this one to Tennessee, 79-73.
Alabama was playing risk-free, though, because if they won, they couldn't get it vacated. But now that they lost, you can go and you can get it vacated.
Ah.
So, apologies, Tennessee. It's actually going to go down as a no contest because there was a player that, over the next couple of days, will be ruled ineligible.
I understand that Alabama was not at full strength. And again, this is what people wanted to see just to point fingers and laugh at Alabama.
Easily, yeah.
But it is funny. It is comical. And the idea that, again, Bediako played well. He played well in that Alabama system.
Saw so many comments, man, on social media. Side note, shout out to Tennessee's social media team.
Oh,
absolutely incredible. Shake hands with the Auburn social media because everybody was just in a total agreeance. On Saturday night, Tennessee's winning post, did you see it? They tagged the Blue Hens, which is the G League team that Bediako played for, and said, you're next. Which is
That's so absolutely good.
Incredible.
That's
and
so
about
good.
13 or 14 other college basketball teams commented like laughing emojis, like Duke and Michigan's. They were on that thread, which is incredible in itself. But, I mean, what a statement win if you're Tennessee, an unranked Tennessee team at that.
Still.
But a really good win.
Still an unranked Tennessee team, by the way.
Yeah.
Not even ranked today with the newest AP poll.
But I saw so many people on social media. Half of it was just to, as the youngsters call, rage bait or clip farm. But talking about professionals that do this job and said, man, Bediako is his movement. He's much quicker and has much better movement after he last played at Alabama. And it's like, wow, you don't say. You get into professional organizations and they work on your footwork down low.
But it wasn't enough. Alabama falls to Tennessee 79-73. Speaking of professionals, we saw a lot of guys in professional football yesterday playing in the NFL. And we now have a Super Bowl matchup. We'll talk about that and wrap up hour number one of the show right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes before we get to the second hour of today's show. Christian, you are about to leave and drive to the oh-so-wonderful Phoenix City, Alabama, where the Lee Scott Warriors and the Glenwood Gators will do battle on a Monday.
They will.
Whoever put the schedule together, I'm sorry. This is a crime.
For this year or for all of the future
years? That too.
It's a total side note that we talked a little bit about on Friday. But yeah, Lee Scott and Glenwood do battle tonight. Some notes for the game in itself. The Lee Scott boys are obviously playing for pride and for a win over your rival. But regardless, the Lee Scott varsity boys will host the area championship at Samford Gymnasium. And so this win doesn't have anything other than just that rivalry pride on the line. For the Lee Scott varsity girls, however, you win and you host the area championship. And so how awesome would it be for the Lee Scott varsity girls and the varsity boys 2 years in the AHSAA to host the area championship in both years, in both sports? The varsity girls game starts at 5 p.m. We'll go on air right before then. So, yeah, as you can mention, we're leaving a little bit earlier, but the entire broadcast on Tiger Country 104.5, tigercountry.net, and that Radio Alabama app. We are very, very excited. It's Lee Scott and Glenwood. You shouldn't need too much. You shouldn't need a hype speech before the game. But, man, my goodness, a whole lot to play for here tonight.
Let's get to the phone lines here quickly to end hour number one, 334-321-1390. Tiger, I've got about a minute or so for you, brother. What's up?
Oh, not much. Just going to say, that shakeup in the classification is crazy. We'll see how it shakes out for the rest of the sports. But, man, I guess nothing really changed for Opelika and Auburn. It just changed back to 6A from 7A.
Yeah,
you know,
the region stayed the same, but with the teams in it, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm trying to, of course, as I've told you before, my boys wrestle, so I'm trying to see how it shakes out in the wrestling classifications, because the rule is if you're 6A or you're private school AA or whatever you are in football, you are all the way across the board. Mm-hmm. So I'll see how that shakes out. But I did just want to call and, say, hey, man, this Auburn basketball team is going to get just better and better and better. I think the more they play with each other, the more Steve kind of gets his fingerprints. But, man, what a game Saturday. I mean, there was a couple times they cut it close and it just, looked like, oh, man, it's kind of like they did us last year. Like, every time we get ahead or every time we, feel like they come back, we just kind of give up. But they put their head down, man, and the crazy thing about Auburn right now, man, if they count Murphy's buzzer beater,
yeah,
and we beat Texas A&M, we're tied for the lead in the SEC right
You're tied for first, and your name is above everybody else's because you would then have a win over Florida and A&M.
I mean, that's just crazy, but, there's a lot of season to go, and, again, we've got some great talent. I think it's coming together a little bit better defensively. And I think we're figuring out, offensively. I think Pettiford, he's still a game here and then take a game off and a game here. But you got to love the kid. He's a grinder, man. He just puts it all out there, whether he's hitting the shots or not. But we win when he's on, that's for sure.
No doubt.
And when he's doing things. So just, ready to see the rest of the season and where we end up in March, man. But other than that, man. Oh, and last thing, what do y'all think about this, Taysom Hill kind of guy we got from I can't even remember where he got it. I think, was it La Monroe?
Yes. Yeah, the Raging Cajuns.
I think he's going to be a good little piece for Alex to use next year. The cat does everything.
Yeah, Auburn needs somebody like that. Ty, we appreciate it, brother. Always great to hear from you, man.
Yes, sir.
Ty the Tiger with us as we close out hour number one. Yeah, excited for him. We'll see what Auburn decides to do with him on the football field. But hour number one is in the book. Stick around. We got more coming up in hour number two. Christian safe travels to Phoenix City. Again, Lee Scott basketball taking on Glenwood. Tiger Country 104.5, tigercountry.net, that Radio Alabama app. You're on the air about 4:45, 4:50. He'll have both girls and boys games later on this afternoon. I'll have you through hour number two. We'll talk about that Dabo Swinney rant and calling out Pete Golding at Ole Miss for tampering. Why it's a good thing, but why Dabo is still naive to what's happening in college football. Plus, we will talk a little bit of NFL playoffs and a team who hired a failed head coach for, I don't know, the 80,000th time in the history of professional sports. And Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. All that coming up in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7.
ESPNAU.com and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 1067. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 1067, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 1067. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. No Christian Griffin in hour number two. He is loading up the car, heading over to Phoenix City, Alabama, as the Lee Scott Warriors take on the Glenwood Gators on the hardwood tonight in high school basketball, rather. So he'll have the radio broadcast for you over on Tiger Country 104.5, tigercountry.net, and that Radio Alabama app. So be sure you tune in for that. He'll be on the air about 4:45, girls start at 5, boys start at 6:30, so he'll have that for you. So he is out, and you've got me, your man, Jacob Goins, for the entirety of hour number two. Just like the old days, right, where it was just you and me in a studio, a microphone, and a whole lot of fun. And we got a lot to get to in this second hour, but if you missed any of the first hour of today's show, you can go and catch up with the podcast version of that on our station website at ESPNAU.com in the podcast center, or you can also check it out on the Radio Alabama app as well. In hour number one, we talked a lot. Christian was here in the first hour. We talked a lot about Auburn's big-time win against the Florida Gators on Saturday in Gainesville. Talked about how they did it, why they did it, and how important it was that they did it. So that was in the first hour. Plus, we looked around college basketball a little bit some more as well, because some of the games were just phenomenal this past weekend in college basketball. Whether it was the SEC, if it was the Big Ten, the Big 12 is pretty insane at the top as well. ACC sneaky good at the top, I think. So looked at a lot of those results and took some good phone calls in that first hour as well. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, again, check it out on our station website in the podcast center at ESPNAU.com. And here in hour number two, going to have our man Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network join us in about 30 minutes or so. He'll hop on and talk about that big win against Florida, what he saw and what he heard from Gainesville this past Saturday, how Auburn can build on that, right, with Texas coming in this Wednesday and then Auburn heading to Knoxville on Saturday. So we'll talk to him about that, plus get his thoughts on some other things going on around Auburn athletics with football transfer portal seemingly slowing down, right, for Alex Golish and the Tigers. So we'll talk to him about that, plus other stuff going on with the Auburn Sports Network. So Jacob Hillman joins us at 3:30. I want to start the second hour, though, talking about Dabo Swinney. And this is a name that comes up on our show, I don't know, once or twice a month, it seems like, because the guy simply cannot stay out of the headlines. He can't stay away from the spotlight, and not in a way that we talk about Lane Kiffin, but in similar ways is Dabo Swinney. Phone lines are open, by the way, if you want to be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. Your thoughts on the rant from Dabo a couple of days ago. You can get your thoughts out about that. Auburn basketball, transfer portal, NFL playoffs. We'll hit on that as well. Anything on your mind, 334-321-1390. Or the text box is open at 334-784-1067. Dabo Swinney is a guy that, as I mentioned, cannot stay out of the headlines. And he's always saying something, right? It's never anything crazy, right? He's not tweeting at anybody. He's not
laying his hands on anybody. He's not, you know, doing anything like that. But it seems to always be when Dabo Swinney gets in front of a microphone. And I get it. I do it every day. It's fun. It's exciting. It's you know, it gives you a rush sometimes. But Dabo seems to always have something to say. And this time was not just having something to say, not just to have a point to make, because he tends to have that in mind as well. This was him, a Division I P4 head football coach, calling out another D1 P4 college football coach, one grown man to another, calling out Ole Miss and Pete Golding. And he calls them out for what he calls blatant tampering, what he calls flat-out extortion, and something he says is a whole other level of tampering. As they had a player who Ole Miss wanted, Ole Miss was reaching out to, even though said player was already committed and signed and a new deal in place with Clemson. Dabo Swinney and Clemson alleged that that this linebacker at Clemson had already decided he was coming back, and Pete Golding was hitting him up, shooting him texts, giving him calls. And some of the language that is being reported or accused of using is, what's your buyout? How much are they paying you? What are they giving you? Is what Dabo Swinney says. Again, some of the terminology he used was straightforward case of tampering, blatant, and flat-out extortion is what Dabo Swinney... And some fiery comments, by the way. And was not trying to mask it at all. And saying that Pete Golding just does what he does. That Ole Miss is just going to do what they do. And there's a couple of different directions that I want to go with this conversation. First of all, good for you, Dabo. Good for you. This needs to happen. This needs to happen more. And what I mean is, people in the industry, big name people in the industry, powerful, impactful people in the industry, need to call it like they see it and need to shine a light on what is happening. Because here's the fact. Here's reality here. We know, as a community of college football, whether you're a coach, an athletic director, a donor, a fan, a janitor, a player, I don't care. However you have your finger on the pulse and your hand in the jar here, the community of college football knows that cheating, lying, tampering, stealing, it's happening on a daily basis right now. And it has happened in our wonderful sport for decades. But it has since ramped up and has multiplied by 100 because of NIL and the transfer portal. And it happens more than you. Yes, you listening right now. It happens more than you can even imagine. It happens more than you can imagine. I hear about situations you don't know about. And there are situations that I don't know about. And there are situations that those people who know those situations that they don't know about. This is happening at every school, at every level, at every college sport in America. Because that is the Pandora's box that has opened. That is the black hole that has emerged above college athletics. the black hole, mind you, that the NCAA knew was going to happen, right? A scientist came to them and said, hey, this black hole is going to appear. You should probably do something about it. They said, we're good. It's fine. It's not going to happen. You don't know what you're talking about. They saw it begin to form, had a chance to kill it right there and put it out of its misery. They said, it'll be fine. It's not going to grow. It's not going to go anywhere. And then, just like that, this black hole of NIL, transfer portal, cheating, and everything else has swelled so big that nobody can get control of it, including the organization whose job it is to do so. Right? So this black hole is now here, and it has destroyed the sports that we love. But Dabo Sweeney is one of the few who had the stones to step up and say, hey, this is happening. And it's not just happening. Here's who's doing it. Here's the player that's involved. And here's what I think about it. And so I first want to commend and congratulate Dabo Sweeney for stepping up and saying what he said, calling out the program and the head coach about what he's up to and what's happening with his players. That's why he's doing it. Let's not get this confused here. Dabo's making a big deal about this, a big stink, because it was one of his guys that was involved. And I think we also need to admit that Dabo's probably one of the cleanest guys in college football when it comes to all of this new stuff. But that gets me to my next point. Good for Dabo for stepping up and bringing it up and calling out those involved. But here's another situation with the Clemson head coach where he shows his ignorance, where he shows his high level of naive, where he shows his inability or just unwillingness to adapt to the times. Now, hear me when I say this. I am not condoning cheating. I don't condone that. I think it's wrong. I think it's horrible. And as Dabo says, it's ruining the sport. And ruining isn't the right word. It's ruined the sport. Right? I, Jacob Goins, am not condoning or allowing or promoting the idea of cheating and tampering and stealing and paying these players more and doing. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. And I'm not saying that Dabo is refusing to stoop that low to that level. What I'm saying is this is another situation with Dabo Sweeney where he gets up and cries all of these things, and it's like he can't believe it's happening. It's like it's brand new to him. It's like it's a whole new galaxy that he's discovered. And it's like, man, wake up. Wake up and realize what's happening. Get out of bed. Go outside and see what the world is now. That's the problem I have with Dabo Sweeney's comments here. Again, I praise him for doing it. And I hope that more will step up and do so. They won't because all these other coaches are involved. But let's remember, this is the guy who, for the first 3 or 4 years of the transfer portal, refused to use it. And the only reason he gave in on it was because he was about to get fired. He was about to lose his job because Clemson stunk. Because he realized he had to go get some dudes. But if there's anybody in the college football landscape that has done it the right way for the most part, yeah, it's Dabo. And Christian and I have talked about this. We hoped it worked, right? We were hopeful that Dabo Swinney pulled it off, that they were able to make it happen and be the black sheep of the world in college football, where he was able to stand up there and say, see, I told you, you don't have to pay players millions of dollars to still win in college football. You don't have to get 35 portal additions every year to win national championships. But it hasn't really worked out that way. And so my message to Dabo is this. It's time to adapt, brother. It's time to accept what it is. And I'm not saying go to the level of Ole Miss and Pete Golding and all these other coaches out there. And your favorite coach is doing it too. I don't care who you cheer for. I don't care if it's Jed Fish at Washington. I don't care if it's Kalen DeBoer at Alabama. I don't care if it's the next head coach at Michigan. Your coach is doing it too. I'm saying you have to be able to adapt to things like NIL, things like the transfer portal, but you can still want change. You can still want it to be done the right way, and that's the core of Dabo's message, which I absolutely agree with. The sport's in a terrible spot. All college sports are in a terrible spot. And what's so frustrating for all of us here is the organization that's in charge is powerless. They're worthless. They're useless. And they have let it get this bad. That's the problem. That is the upsetting part of this. But the idea that we are now to the point, which I would say is near the breaking point, that you have fellow head coaches calling each other out publicly saying, hey, lay off my guys, stay away, and trying to get change, that should be the sign that we're in a really bad spot. And Dabo Swinney has been one of the more outspoken guys on this. I'm curious on who falls in line with this, who else will step up, and who else gets called out the same way Pete Golding and Ole Miss did. Let's take a break here in hour number two. Phone lines are open if you want to be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. Got a text message to get to. We will do so when we come back at 334-784-1067. Talking NFL playoffs and a team in the league that did something that I simply cannot stand. We talk about that as we're just underway in hour number two here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We are back here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm going to talk about the NFL playoffs here in just a moment, including former Auburn quarterback Jarrett Stidham getting his first postseason start in a game that started out decent and then turned cold, turned snowy, and really just turned gross. And we'll also talk about the game after that, the NFC Championship game, that delivered in a way that was desperately needed. But we got a text in our on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067, which you can always hit up during the show. And it's a question that asks, any chance that Horatio Fields returns to Auburn, or has that bridge been burned? And we brought this up briefly in the first hour. Actually, a caller brought it up briefly in the first hour. And in case you missed it, Horatio Fields, former Auburn wide receiver who entered the transfer portal this cycle, had announced, and so had the school, announced that he was committed to Missouri. He was committed to Missouri, and Eli Drinkwitz out of the portal as a receiver. And that seemed to be a pretty done deal, but it was reported over the weekend that is no longer the case, that he is not expected to sign with Missouri. And what seemed to be the tipping point of all of this was Caden Lee, the former Ole Miss wide receiver, signing with Missouri as a wide receiver this past weekend. So I don't really know what happened there, to be 100% honest. There's not a ton of more details on that. But I think given the fact that he entered the portal, right, I think that one was more so of a mutual kind of an agreement. I don't think it's from what I know, right? I don't think this was a, oh, heck no, I'm not playing for this staff. I ain't playing for Alex Golish. I'm leaving. I don't think it was that. And I don't think it was Alex Golish walking in and saying, you're terrible. Get out. We don't want you. I don't think, I think it was a mutual thing of, hey, man, new staff, new team. We're going to bring in new guys. And Horatio was like, yeah, new staff, new team. I'm going to go find a new home. I think from what I've heard, that's basically what happened here, right? So that paired with what Auburn has brought in through the transfer portal at the receiver spot, I don't see a world where Horatio Fields comes back to Auburn, but anything is possible, right? Anything could happen, I guess, if Auburn feels that they need one more. And here's what's unfortunate for Horatio, right? You're in a position now where most teams have filled that spot. Most teams have gone and got the players that they wanted. So is there a home for Horatio somewhere? And I was happy for him to go to another SEC team that was one of the many that Auburn saw leave their program who found a new home in P4 and in the SEC. But with the additions of guys like Jeremiah Koger and Christian Neptune and Corey Pettigrew, right, and Keyshawn Singleton, for Auburn out of the transfer portal, along with Chaz Nimrod, all those guys from South Florida, right? You bring in a ton of those names. I just don't know if Auburn has a ton of room for another receiver, but they could. I don't think that happens. Scrap Richardson's another one, the Notre Dame wide receiver. Forgot about him, right? I think Auburn has done a pretty good job of going to the portal and retaining a couple of guys too. So, I don't know. Don't hang your hat on it with Horatio Fields, but I guess anything is technically possible. Want to talk NFL playoffs for a second, because yesterday was a bag of mixed emotions, huh? Yesterday was fun and exciting, but also like kind of poking something with a stick and waiting for it to do something. Patriots-Broncos, AFC Championship game, all the hype was there. Drake May, second-year quarterback. Mike Vrabel, fired head coach from Tennessee. They're in the AFC Championship game again, first time since Tom Brady left. Going to a place that Tom Brady never won in the playoffs, a road game in Denver, right? You heard that stat several times yesterday. Going on the road to the Broncos with Jarrett Stidham. And his first career postseason start for a guy that has started less than five games in the NFL. And he didn't play bad. Jarrett didn't. He didn't play bad. He didn't play great, but he didn't play bad. But man, once that snow started falling, it was over. That game turned ugly and turned ugly quick. 10-7, Patriots win, and they go back to the Super Bowl. And so desperately, we needed the NFC Championship game to be a dogfight, to be a cage rattler, and it absolutely was. Seahawks take down the Rams 31-27 in what is another instant classic of the NFC Championship game. And Matthew Stafford did everything he could, the MVP, but he falls to Sam Darnold. So now Sam Darnold and the Seahawks, Drake May and the Patriots in the big game. I'm excited for it. I think it'll be a fun matchup. I think I have the Seahawks. I think I saw they were favored by 3.5 in there. So, should be a fun game. And we'll talk about it more as it gets closer. But we need to take a break because our man Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joins us when we come back. We'll talk all things Auburn Athletics next.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. No Christian Griffin, as he is heading on his way to Phoenix City to call Lee Scott Academy basketball against the Glenwood Gators. So he is out, I am in, and so is our man, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. Hillman, it's great to talk to you on this Monday, and like old times, just you and me on the radio this afternoon.
Yeah, hey, look, I get it for Christian. It's a big rivalry between the Warriors and Glenwood, so hey, it's a big one for him. He needs to go get ready for that one.
Yeah, they're on the air. Girls start at 5 o'clock, so he'll be on the air about 4:45, 4:50. Girls start at 5, and then the boys will be to follow around 6:30 or so over on Tiger Country 104.5. But, man, we have so much to go over, and we get to discuss the biggest win of the season so far for Stephen Pearl and Auburn basketball, biggest win of the Stephen Pearl era so far for Auburn basketball as the Tigers go on the road and defeat the Florida Gators on Saturday. Your thoughts on what Auburn was able to do up by 15 at the half? They saw that get trimmed to nothing, but they still pull out a big-time win.
Yeah, just an impressive, not wire-to-wire victory quite for the Tigers, but regardless, Auburn had an excellent game plan for this bigger Florida front court and not allowing the Gators to really get it going with Ruben Shinulu and Alex Condon and those other big men like Thomas, like Han Logson coming off the bench. And Thomas Houck was really the only one that was able to get things going offensively for Florida. And that's what led to that run in the second half that tied the game. But most impressively was the way this defense and this team responded to that run when Florida tied the game up at 54, I think, with 7:50 to go. And Coach Pearl said it best with Andy Bergeron on the Regions Bank postgame show how 2-3 weeks ago, this team probably folds and loses the game by 10, but they were locked in, they were following the game plan, and just simply responded the way it needed to after that run and was able to go and win going away with a 9-point victory. I think that's the first time in almost 3 years that Florida's lost by multiple possessions at home. So just all around an impressive victory. Keyshawn Hall gets SEC Player of the Week for the 22-point first half he had, and he didn't have to score as much in the second half because of how he really impacted Florida, and they started to double-team him and everything that went into that. And then he also had a great performance against Ole Miss earlier in the week. So just all around a great week for Auburn basketball. You can kind of see the trends going in the Tigers' direction now.
And when you look at just those individual performances, you shouted out a couple of them there. I mean, the fact that Auburn right now, Hillman, is only playing basically a 7-man rotation. That's what they had on Saturday with guys who put in legitimate minutes, and yet they were able to play for 40 minutes. They got production from everywhere, and they also outscored Florida in the paint. I mean, what a world we're living in with a team like Florida who's much bigger than Auburn with several other guys. The Tigers dominated them in the painted area.
You're exactly right. And that's the thing is, if you were going into it, I thought Auburn was going to have to make more than 5 3-pointers to beat Florida. They went 5 of 15 from deep. Keyshawn Hall was 3 of 5, and then Pettiford and Sway, of all guys, also made a 3. And it's something that I thought was going to have to really heat up for Auburn to have a good chance of winning this game. But I think the big key was Auburn getting to the free throw line and making its free throws. 19 of 21 from the free throw line, where Auburn was consistently getting into the paint and forcing Florida to foul the way that it did. Mm-hmm. And of course, that led to what you mentioned, the point to the paint advantage that Auburn had. And it was a large advantage. But that even goes back to the first half where Florida was not grabbing offensive rebounds at the rate that it has consistently throughout this season. It ended up with 17 offensive rebounds to Auburn's 8 and kind of dominated that category. But a lot of that came late. I mean, I think on the freaking last possession, they got 3 or 4 offensive rebounds on misses when Auburn had the game in hand. So I was just really impressed with the way this team followed the game plan set in front of them, and it led to this result. And it's something that I think we talked about this last week about this team's ceiling and what to expect, because we obviously know that this team has the capability to go on the road and beat the defending national champions, the team that was first in the SEC going into that game, and to host an Arkansas team that's towards the top of the league and win by 22. And then it also had the game at Missouri that you lose by 10 points. So it's finding a balance and trying to have more of those ceiling games where you beat a Florida and an Arkansas than those Missouri games going forward.
We continue to say that it's Auburn's biggest win of the season, and there are several reasons because of that. We're talking to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here on ESPN 106.7. Auburn's third win of the year against a ranked opponent. First one on the road. Again, we saw Auburn beat St. John's in neutral site, take down Arkansas at home. This one being on the road against the defending national champions, against the team who really had started to turn it on and become one of the better teams in our league, and also against Todd Golden. And we know how special that was for Stephen Pearl and their relationship. But Hillman, you look at what's coming up on this schedule. This was the start of the toughest stretch of the season with the game against Texas on Wednesday night at home. Then you go on the road to Tennessee, week off before Alabama comes to town, Vanderbilt comes to town, and then on the road at Arkansas. I mean, Auburn has set themselves up, my friend, to get a couple of nice wins here in this tough stretch of late January, early February.
Three of the next four being at home is absolutely massive. You've got Texas, Alabama, and Vanderbilt at home with that Tennessee game on the road. If you thought the Florida game was big for Stephen Pearl, then this Tennessee game is just going to be just as big going back to his alma mater, to the place that he played at under his father, Bruce, at Tennessee. So you're exactly right. These next five games, and really it's interesting how it's segmented out, Auburn's SEC schedule. The middle six games are really – the toughest that the Tigers are going to face this season, with already one win under the belt, going to Florida, beating the defending national champions, the team that knocked you out in the Final Four this past season. And it sets you up for these next five games where you can take advantage and turn this into the season-defining stretch of games. Because, I mean, if you continue this momentum and you're able to win more of these games, then it's going to set you up for success in March, because you're going to, I mean, from what I've seen, I think bracketmatrix.com, if you look at it, Auburn has basically jumped two seed line, where Auburn was just inside the bubble, probably one of those last four bye teams as a ninth seed. Now it's almost, maybe not unanimous, but there are a lot of bracketologists saying Auburn's a seven seed. And if they're not saying a seven seed, they're one of the top eight seeds.
Wow.
In the nation. So I just think that this win did so much for Auburn's, you know, the kind of what the perspective is of the Tigers right now, because obviously you've played a tough non-conference schedule. It's just Auburn hadn't gotten that win outside of the Arkansas game that everyone really looked at as the defining win. But that Florida win certainly is that.
And when you look around the league right now, Hillman, I mean, it's still wide open, right? Texas A&M is at the top at 6-1. You have three teams at 5-2, Arkansas, Florida, and Kentucky. You've got a handful of teams at 4-3, Georgia, Missouri, Vanderbilt, Auburn, and then another couple at 3-3, Tennessee and Alabama. What is your evaluation as of right now of what the league looks like as we are seven games in and another big week here on tap?
Yeah, it's wide open, like you said, because, I mean, I don't want to play the woulda, shoulda, coulda game, but Auburn's 0.1 of a second, quite frankly, from being in first place in the SEC, had that Keyshawn Murphy buzzer beater against Texas A&M stood and counted, Auburn would be 5-2 with wins over three of the teams it would be tied with in Texas A&M, Arkansas, and Florida. But nonetheless, we're Auburn's sitting at 4-3, Texas A&M's at 6-1, and regardless, it's just a huge opportunity ahead, because Auburn gets to play Vanderbilt in a couple of weeks. Auburn gets to host Kentucky as well in a couple of weeks. And like I said, already has the wins over Florida and Arkansas. And then right behind it, Alabama, Tennessee, Texas are at 3-3 and 3-4. So the separation is about to occur with the SEC standings in one way or the other. These teams, I think, are going to start to separate. You're going to start to see who the real contenders are in the conference. And, I mean, again, it's really interesting looking at the top, because none of those teams, I would say, are I would feel confident about going in, because I feel like when Florida went to Vanderbilt and won the way it did, there was probably a sense of, man, the Gators probably wrapped this up already. But with Auburn's win, now who the heck knows? And I'm excited to see all of this pan out. February is going to be so exciting. And again, it starts here in late January with Auburn hosting Texas on Wednesday and then going to Tennessee on Saturday.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joining us on the phone lines here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Other things going on around Auburn athletics. Winter sports, of course, in full swing. Gymnastics with a big performance this past Friday against Florida, funny enough. And other things going on around Auburn athletics and on the plains that people need to know about.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Auburn gymnastics had a pretty good score against number one Florida on Friday night inside Neville Arena. What an electric environment it was in front of yet another sellout at Neville Arena for the gymnastics program. They stay at number 11 and will visit Georgia on Sunday. So another big matchup before coming home for two straight meets. Go to aubtix.com for tickets to that environment, because it's really always a fun Friday night watching Auburn gymnastics. They have Kentucky and then Alabama at home after visiting Georgia. Auburn women's basketball had a tough loss to Oklahoma yesterday, but right there in it, with the team that just beat South Carolina. Well, the Gamecocks come to town on Thursday night at 8:00 Central. You can hear the coverage right here on ESPN 106.7 FM with Britt Bowen beginning at 7:45. And then the Tigers will go on the road to face Ole Miss on Sunday. And then men's basketball is back in action at Neville Arena on Wednesday to host Texas at 6:00 on Wings 94.3 FM. Andy Burch and Randall Dickey and Brad Law on the call at 5:30. And then they head out to Knoxville to visit Tennessee at the 7:30 tip-off with 7:00 airtime on Wings 94.3 FM. And just so much going on, like you said, with all the sports going on. Women's tennis is advancing to the ITA Indoor Championship after beating Florida State at the Arbro Tennis Center on Saturday this weekend. And men's tennis also in action, took down Alabama earlier this weekend in Starkville. Women's golf, men's golf, they're getting back in action. So much going on. Swim and dive is headed to Tuscaloosa later this week as well. So lots to take in. Make sure you're subscribed and following at AU Sports Network on social media, as Andy has all of his coaches' interviews as well as the Talking Tigers podcast. Gearing up for baseball and softball season. Yeah. Carl Donnemaker was on the Talking Tigers podcast earlier today as we gear up for the Diamond Sports.
Yeah, you mentioned those sports. Softball, February 5th, and baseball, February 13th. I mean, that's February 5th. That's next week, dude.
Yeah, hard to believe. It really is. So we're excited to bring all the coverage to everyone here in the Auburn-Opelika area for both of those sports. And especially, I mean, look, that baseball team is getting a lot of preseason praise. Mm-hmm. I think Naaman is top 10 in the preseason polls, and then Chris and Kate Malvo in their second year have high hopes for this team for the upcoming season.
And this doesn't involve Auburn as much, but I know golf season is back. You're a big golf guy. You saw our boy Scotty Scheffler. One start, one win. Our man's right, picking right back up where he left off, huh?
Yeah, a little Bennett Scheffler's not even running out into the green anymore, because, I mean, look, he's been there before. He's probably going to save it for the majors this year. And, hey, I'll tell you what, I'm excited to see Brooks Koepka back in action later this week at the in San Diego at Torrey Pines. So, you're right. Golf is right back in the swing of things with the West Coast swing. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the sports world, and our man Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network has his finger on all of it, my man. We appreciate you taking the time, as always. Plug it all. Tell the people where they can find everything they need to know.
Yeah, be sure to follow us on Twitter and X and Instagram at AU Sports Network. We've got Tiger Talk on Thursday at Baumhauer's Victory Grill. It's all men's basketball. Head coach Stephen Pearl, Kevin Overton, and Keyshawn Hall join us at 6:00 on Wings 94.3 FM, or like I said, in person at Baumhauer's Victory Grill. So make sure you join us.
Hillman, we appreciate it, my friend. Enjoy the week, and we'll do it again next Monday.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, guys. War Eagle.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us here on ESPN 106.7. Long time Monday guest here on the show, and we appreciate him taking the time each and every week on ESPN 106.7. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the Monday edition of the show right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Hello.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network for joining us, as he does each and every Monday here on the show. And folks, he is the longest standing guest on this show. He was a guest on this show when I joined the show as a co-host 4 years ago. So shout out to Mr. Jacob Hillman. There is not enough food or beer or golf that I could buy him that shows enough appreciation for what he does and contributes to our show each and every week. And so thank you to him. He had great stuff to say in line with what we have talked about today with Auburn basketball beating Florida, other games around the SEC, other teams around the SEC in college basketball. I also had a nice conversation about Dabo Swinney and his calling out of Pete Golding at Ole Miss and why I'm happy that he did it, but I had a message for Dabo as well. So all of that has been on the show today. If you missed any of it, again, go back, listen to the podcast version of our show. We just take the audio and put it up on our station website for you at ESPNAU.com in the podcast center. If you listen on the Radio Alabama app, you can find it there as well, right? Just click on ESPN 106.7. You'll see the podcast version down below. You can click on it and listen to it there as well. And Christian was with me in the first hour. He is not with me here. He is should be close to rolling into Phoenix City, where he will be on the air tonight for Lee Scott Academy basketball as the Warriors take on the Gators. That's right, Lee Scott and Glenwood, a rivalry I know very well, and he does too, as they are in enemy territory, are the girls and the boys tonight. He'll be on the air a little less than an hour from now, 4:45. He'll be on the air, Tiger Country 104.5, tigercountry.net, and the Radio Alabama app. He will be live for Varsity Girls and Varsity Boys Lee Scott basketball against Glenwood. He has three games this week, this being the first one, and the final area games of the season. We'll both wrap up a busy week of games and then get into postseason play. So excited for that. So be sure you tune in tonight over on Tiger Country 104.5. Tomorrow is Tuesday, and it'll be an open show, but there's a lot to get to. More portal recap for Auburn, more college basketball to preview. Great games tonight in college hoops, and good games tomorrow as well. So we'll talk all about that, plus what's going on around the nation as well. And I've been teasing this, and I have about a minute and a half or so that I just want to go in on this very quickly. Did anybody else see who the Pittsburgh Steelers hired as their new head coach? Did you see that? Did you see that the Pittsburgh Steelers are hiring Mike McCarthy as their next head coach? Yes, the Mike McCarthy, the one who coached my Green Bay Packers, won a Super Bowl, and then just went to crap. Then went to the Dallas Cowboys and did, nothing. And Pittsburgh looked at him, a guy who has failed in two separate places. I know he won a Super Bowl, but folks, we're talking a long time ago. And the Pittsburgh Steelers looked at him and said, that's our guy. Here is another example of something that I will just never understand. Now, I did learn that Mike McCarthy is a deep rooted Pittsburgh native. I knew he was from Pennsylvania, but I did not know Pittsburgh was where he was from. So that's cool. Doesn't mean you're a good coach. I get it, but that doesn't give you true validity in my opinion. But here's what I'll never understand on the way out of today's show. The trend and idea in professional sports for an organization who fires their head coach because he wasn't winning games, and they turn around and they hire another coach who just got fired for not winning games. The NBA is the absolute worst at this, but here we go again. I have this rant probably twice a year. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're on the list. Congratulations. You hired a coach that will never win big games for you. That's not going to bring you back to the promised land, and he will be out of a job within 5 years. I'll never understand it, man. But that's why I'm not a GM. That's why I'm a local radio guy, right? Good thing is, I don't think I'm losing this job. I hope not. And if that's the case, I'll be back tomorrow with Christian Griffin 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.